Well, good morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you today that you did all the heavy lifting. Lord, we can sing that song because it's truth based on the truth, the person truth, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Lord, I pray today you'd help us to walk in that truth, though. Lord, sometimes we get caught up with other things that are not of the truth, and then we allow that to dictate how we see life and our actions. So Lord, today I pray you give us a clear picture of you, who you are, and what you're doing. We bless you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're going to take some time to hopefully get rid of some baggage, get rid of some things that are hanging on us this morning by looking at forgiveness. And I think that Gary did not know that we were talking about that subject till this morning. I think that song is very appropriate. You know, God has a sense of humor of being able to put all that stuff together when we may not know what all is going on. And I think that that's a principle for all of our lives, that where God might be working and how He's working may not look exactly like we've been picturing it, but God is up to something today. So let's join Him in this journey. And this morning, as we get ready to look at forgiveness, our lives are always full of opportunity to have unforgiveness. Is that true, you think? Aren't there plenty of opportunities, especially in today's world? I mean, if you just spent 10 or 15 minutes perusing the news in some form today, you could probably find a lot of people to be mad at. A lot of opportunities to display anger and hold on to it and form bitterness and get all that going on and become a person of a hard heart. But that's not of God. What's of God? Freedom. Being able to walk without baggage, to be able to see life and to live life, to experience life like He desired us to live it in the middle of difficulty, in the middle of difficult circumstances. So as we begin our time together with forgiveness, we're going to look at some things that forgiveness does not do or have an impact on. Go ahead, John. These are not in your bulletin, and the reason is because I didn't have enough room to put all of it in it. So the first thing about forgiveness is, it does not diminish or minimize or deny your pain. Things have happened to us, and they hurt. Disappointments sometimes hurt greatly, don't they? That saying about sticks and stones don't break our bones, but words really hurt times, don't they? Isn't it amazing sometimes how during life it can go either way? Sometimes people walk into your life and say the right thing that just lifts you up. And then there's other times that people walk into your life and you honest to goodness believe that that Satan texts them what to tell you. I mean, really, come on. Forgiveness does not condone the offense. You're not giving approval to how someone hurt you, what they said, what they did, by forgiving them. You're not checking it off and saying, you know what, it's okay. Don't live under this lie. Unforgiveness will not be all right. Unforgiveness will not make your life okay. You won't get by carrying around the baggage of unforgiveness. But it does not condone the offense. You're not giving approval to the he or the she or the what to say, you know what, I'll be all right. No, you won't. There's something that's happened. Forgiveness does not mean that the offender deserves it. Not saying he or she deserves you to forgive them. They may never come to the point where they look at you eyeball to eyeball and say, I was wrong. Now, you might spend most of your life hoping that God strikes their eyes, but forgiveness does not mean that the offender deserves it. Forgiveness does not diminish the seriousness of the offense. Kind of already alluded to that a little bit, but it is serious. When we get hurt by someone in some capacity, you feel it in some way. There's a wound, a hurt, something's happened. Something's not gone according to God's perfect plan. So it does not diminish the seriousness of the offense. God is in full recognition of your hurt today and your disappointment. Forgiveness does not necessitate forgetting. And this is a very important point I want you to realize is this. Don't ever confuse forgiveness with forgetting. Don't confuse those two. Now we're going to address something a little bit more elaborate in the to forgive section, but don't think that you're just forgiving so you can forget. That's not what I'm saying. That forgiveness has a lot more to do than just forgetting. Forgiveness does not mean reconciliation. First of all, if the person or persons that you need to forgive, if they're deceased or moved to the other side of the world or you're never going to see them again, you may never actually reconcile in a very personal, physical sense. I'm not asking you today to consider going out and reconciling with every single person that maybe you need to forgive from your past or from your present in your time right now. Forgiveness does not mean reconciliation. Forgiveness does not forgo boundaries. I'm never going to give you, because I don't think God gave us permission, for us to be doormats. God's not saying, forgive and then let them just walk all over you again. Forgiveness does not forgo boundaries. Boundaries are essential. Jesus had boundaries. If He had boundaries, then I would say it's a pretty good idea for us to have some boundaries. Forgiveness does not mean that there are no consequences. Forgiveness does not mean that there are no consequences. Especially on the emotional side and on the physical side. We see it, we feel it, we experience it. There are consequences. So don't diminish the fact that there's not consequences. Hence what I said to you a few moments ago. Don't live like life like you're going to be okay if you don't forgive. Because that in and of itself is you're hurting your own self. You're hurting your own heart. And I want to say this real quick to you right now before I forget later, because I didn't put it in my notes to say it, is this. Some point today, your forgiveness of someone else is going to impact some future generation in your life. Somebody today needs to do some forgiveness, not because it's just going to impact you, but it's going to impact somebody powerfully that you have impact upon. And maybe for some of you, that might be somebody that's not even born yet. Forgiveness is not a feeling. And I'm very thankful for this. Because I want you to know, honestly, I don't really know that I've ever felt like forgiving anybody. I really don't. I don't know. Maybe you have. I don't know when it's true forgiveness, when I've truly been wronged, when things have happened. I don't know that I've actually said, you know what? Today I feel like forgiving. It's all going to be perfect after this point. Most of the time, I have to take other steps first. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness does not necessitate trust. Again, back to, if you forgive, that doesn't mean all of a sudden you just lay your life out before he or she and go, we're as good as we ever were. No, no. There's trust issues still. God is not intending for you to go around being hurt, forgive, and then just put yourself back in the situation to be hurt again. So it does not necessarily say, I got to trust he or she again, just like nothing happened. No. Not at all. Absolutely not. Forgiveness is different to processing pain. Forgiveness is different to processing pain. Healing very rarely happens like that. If it happened like that, then Dusty and Rick and Regina would have nothing to do most days. Okay? Because most of the time, we're processing pain with people. And that's a good thing. Jesus says that I am with you always. He's helping process the pain. Forgiveness is different to processing pain. Forgiveness is part of the healing process of the pain. Forgiveness is not conditional. Now look, don't tell me today that you have never ever had a thought something like this. I will forgive he or she if this happens to them. I will forgive he or she if they come and apologize to me first. I will forgive he or she if something between us occurs to where that person took the first step. Because most of us struggle with, God, if their life could just become a little bit more miserable, then I think I'm willing to forgive them. If I can see that something bad happened to them, then God, I'm all in on this forgiveness thing. Never live under the illusion that we never put stipulations on our forgiveness. Although, albeit, God has a higher calling, doesn't He? So today, as we look at what forgiveness does not do or is not, then what is forgiveness? John, read some scriptures. 2 Corinthians 10:2-10-11 says, anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was ever anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. You know one of the greatest schemes that the evil one has had, and he had it at the beginning in Genesis in the story of the creation, and that is he loves nothing better than to pit you against somebody else and divide. I mean, that is awesome. He loves that when you're carrying around that unforgiveness. He loves it. He's like, awesome, I got them turned towards one another. Let me just step back and enjoy the party. John, next scripture. Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. You know something about that scripture? Paul didn't write the church in Ephesus and say, hey guys, I got a suggestion for you. I've got a good thought for you. If you want a get-rich-quick scheme, here it is. Paul wrote that and he said, I'm telling you, this is what you need to do. Paul was writing, I believe, from a personal experience. I believe Paul had to process all this too. You see, when he was out killing the Christians, I think he was bitter. I think he was full of rage. And I think he had a whole bunch of anger. And I think he loved to pit people against people because he was a slanderous. He went and he talked and he gossiped. And he said things to get things stirred up. But he had an encounter with the living Christ. And Jesus said, Paul, we're going to do something different from this point forward. And then Paul says, so let's be kind and compassionate. Don't you want somebody to do that in your life that you've wronged? Forgiving each other. Don't you want people to forgive you? Just as in Christ God forgave you. Let those words sink in for a moment. Are you verse 31 or are you verse 32? John, the last scripture says, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they're clueless. They don't know who I am hanging on this cross, and they don't know that I have come to set them free from verse 31 of Ephesians. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Did you know everything you were doing this week? Then the people you may be holding unforgiveness towards, maybe they didn't know what they were doing either. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. They thought so little of the blood-stained garments that they gambled for him. Forgiveness today. I'm going to say this the next 10 minutes, probably a dozen times. It's your choice. Point number one, John. Forgiveness is a choice, a crisis of the will. Some of you, I am sure, have been hurt deeply and repeatedly by the same person or persons, but it's still a choice. It's a crisis of your will. What will you place before you today? Life or death? Because one choice is life, your life. One choice is a death, spiritual baggage. Just keep on carrying it. Just keep on piling it in there. Keep on adding those reasons that you've made up, that I've made up to not forgive. Forgiveness is a choice. A crisis of the will. And sometimes the greatest battle you'll ever fight, you should say amen in just a moment, is with the person in the mirror. It's hard, isn't it? Some days you wake up, sometimes you just wake up and you go, is it time to go back to bed yet? Honestly, if you don't ever feel that way, you're just living a lie. Because it's the real deal. Forgiveness is a choice. Crisis of the will. John? Forgiveness is agreeing to live with the consequences of another person's sin. You know what? When I wrote this, this was the image that came to mind. You guys can picture some other image. I picture all of our soldiers that have come back over these last years from the different wars that are going on, and they're maimed. And I think about something. They went into a battle. Not one. They didn't wake up and go, boy, I hope I don't come back with a limb. They went into a battle. But for the rest of their natural life, there will be evidence that there was a war going on. Maybe the evidence in the war in your life is it's on the inside. No one gets to see it on the outside. That might be it. But it's agreeing to say, you know what, God? I am living in the temporary. I'm looking for a city that's permanent. Our view has to become one that says it hurts now, but God's in the healing process. And one day, we're going to see it all perfectly. Forgiveness is agreeing to say, you know what, someone has wronged me and I'm going to live with those consequences, but I'm not going to let those consequences control me. Number three, John. Forgiveness is for your sake, not the other person. Forgiveness is for your sake, not the other person. The reality of it is, and I know a lot of you have heard this type of message before, but the reality is we really do get to practice this on a regular basis. And let me just speak bluntly. If you're married, then you probably get to practice it at least on some semblance of a daily basis. Okay? Mostly daily. If not, then cheer up. Life is going to hit you someday. Forgiveness is for your sake, not the other person. That other person may never know that you have chosen to forgive them, to let them off your hook, but they're not off God's hook. They're not off God's hook till He says they're off and turn to Him and repent. That's the way they get off God's hook. I repent. I confess. I acknowledge I've sinned. Forgiveness is for your sake, for your healing, for your wholeness. And we're going to come back to that in a moment too. Think of what could happen today if you dropped the bag of unforgiveness and walked in the freedom of forgiveness. The other person may never know. In fact, the other person may never care. But you care, and you should care about yourself and watch what God does in your life by getting rid of that baggage. Number four, John. Forgiveness is being a minister of reconciliation. Now, I did tell you earlier, you don't have to reconcile. That's true. But here's another point. How often do you have people in your lives? You probably have somebody right now in your life that you desire to be closer to, but there's just something standing in the way. There's just a gap there. And you desire reconciliation. You wish you could be close to them. You desire to have more of a fulfilling relationship with them. And you desire that. Maybe the first step from your side of the equation is, it says, look, they have a choice, but I have a choice. And today I'm choosing to forgive them, to let them off my hook and let God deal with them however He wants to. You know that scripture that I just read that Jesus said on the cross? Okay, there will be no more greater offense against us than was against Jesus that day. There can't be. Because that was imperfection trying to destroy perfection. That was the devil's schemes thinking it could kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus looked from a temporal view to eternal view and says, you know what? The people that are doing this are more important to my Father than me holding on to my unforgiveness. They're more important to God's plan in their life than me holding something against them, because I died for all of them too. One of the things I'll never get out of my mind, ever, is that Jesus washed Judas's feet. And I believe if he'd have come back and he said, hey, I did wrong, I think Jesus would have said, we're good. We're good, brother. I forgive you, because you didn't know what you were doing. So before we're quick to run and hold on to our unforgiveness, how often do the people in our lives we need to forgive, they may not fully understand what they're doing. So forgiveness is part of being a minister of reconciliation, starting with your part of the equation. John? Forgiveness of others displays mercy. Think about something. Did you need some mercy in your life this week? Did you need some mercy in your relationships? I mean, did you need it? I did. And I went one more week without being perfect. Did you go one more week being perfect? Or were you without perfection? Because you and I need mercy. So, to whom much is given, much is required. Are you willing to display mercy to others? Forgiveness of others is displaying mercy. It's changing your language when you talk about that person. It's changing your attitude. It's changing your thought process. It's changing your prayer language. It's changing the way you act and the way you behave is displaying mercy. Forgiveness is obedience to God's command. Think about that for a second. When it's so easy for you and I to hold something against somebody, then in essence is what we're saying is, God, I don't think you know what you're talking about. God, I don't think you know that you understand. God, I'm not sure you can relate. And you know that's a lie. You know He relates. You know He understands. You know He cares. And you know He loves. But when we're choosing to not do what He commands, then we're saying His way is not good enough, that we have another plan, that we're going to do what we want to do to get what we want. And God says, that's not the way it works. Forgiveness is obedience to God's command. Because I have commanded you, because that's what I do. You see, He did what He commands us to do. Remember that. His commandment, He's already done. Number seven. Forgiveness destroys the works of Satan. What did I tell you earlier? I said, since the garden, Satan looks to kill, steal, and destroy, but he loves to divide. Where is there division in your life? Destroy the works of Satan. You know, some days, one of the things that motivates me, although I never actually get to see the physical manifestation of evil a lot of times in the flesh, I just sometimes sense it. And sometimes what I do during the day or during the week is I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be going for the lowest common denominator. I'm not going to be a bottom feeder. I'm going to rise above it through the power of the Holy Spirit, and I want to see the works of Satan destroyed. Instead of getting mad what I read, I'm going to pray for those that I see are trying to kill, steal, and destroy. Instead of saying, I want to get back, I'm asking God, how can I be part of the solution instead of part of the problem? That's destroying the works of Satan. Sharing the good news with people, that's destroying the works of Satan. If I hold back and don't lead with love, I'm not destroying the works of Satan. I'm an advocate for the works of Satan. Forgiveness destroys the work of Satan. What did Jesus say? I have destroyed the works. You are part of the solution. Number 8. Forgiveness restores our joy. Easy test. Who's already coming to mind this morning that God's probably telling you need to forgive? Now, second thought is, are you already arguing with Him? Are you already trying to explain away? But God, you don't know. Isn't that so silly? We say that sometimes. God, you don't understand. What does He not understand? What does He really not understand? What is He not going to do for you that He hasn't already offered to do for you? You need joy. God desires for you to be fulfilled, to display something that He is offering in you so He can go through you. Destroy the works of Satan by restoring your joy. Going around, sad face, long face, weighted down, feeling like there's no point to life, there's nothing about that that's of God. God has a point to your life. He really does have a point to your existence. And He desires that you can do it with joy this morning. So forgiveness restores our joy. Number 9, John. Forgiveness frees us to love as Christ loves us. It's going to be tough. But wouldn't you love to look at your most hated enemy and love them as Christ loves them? Well, I want you to know something. Christ loves your enemy with everything He's got, just like He loves you with everything He's got. And some days that's a sobering fact that I think we need a reality check some days about. That God really does love all those people in the Middle East that are in America too that want to see us killed. He really does love them. And He is wooing and He is bringing. But do you pray for the people you need to forgive as if God will change their heart, will come to them, restore them, and lead with love? Because forgiveness frees you to love as Christ loves you. And we need a large quotient of love in our culture today. And number 10, forgiveness brings us closer to wholeness so we can be holy. The high calling of God. Unforgiveness will always leave holes in us. H-O-L-E-S. But God desires wholeness so we can be holy. Perfect, without blemish, without defect. You might say, but Dane, I'll never be perfect. Why do you settle? Why do you give in and give up? When God says, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to keep working on this. And part of the equation in your life is forgiveness. So you can be whole, so you can begin to heal the wounds and the hurts, and not so you can see life through what you're lacking, but through what He has given unto you for Him to be used by you. God has restored us to a rightful relationship. So of course He wants to restore us in the ways we've been broken. Just take inventory of one moment. The people that you around the most often. You may not even care about some of them. Truth is, you really may not. You really may not care about some of the people you're around so often. But I want to ask you this question. If you could step back for a moment and see their lives as you believe God would intend to use them, how would it impact how you see that relationship with them? Because until you're whole or until you're on the process of being whole, what you see is what's lacking instead of what could be. And instead of what might be, instead of what God has for them. You're always doing the, I wish he or she could just get this. And there might be people from your past, like I said earlier, they're no longer on this earth. Or you don't even know where to find them any longer. But part of your wholeness journey depends on letting them off your hook. So you don't have to deal with them. You will pray for them out of love, and that you will want for them what Jesus did for you and for me. There's a great movie with Morgan Freeman playing Nelson Mandela. It's called Invictus. Nelson Mandela became president of South Africa in the 90s. And when he became president, because of all the just tremendous bitterness between the races, his closest people comes around Nelson Mandela and he says, now that you're in office, it's time to get back at the people who always were putting us down and it was always deriding us and always hurting us and didn't want us to be here. And Nelson Mandela says these words, and these need to be your words every day, even if it's every moment of every day. Nelson Mandela looks at his closest confidants and he says, no, forgiveness starts here. He led with love. He led with reconciliation. He led to restore that which had been stolen. I said this to you earlier. There's somebody in your life that's dependent on your forgiveness because they need to see what it looks like. So today, as you think about all this forgiveness, how's it going to happen? It's like how anything happens in the kingdom of God. Allow God to walk with you. Take a step today and say, I'm going to choose, God, to forgive he or she. John, you go ahead and put those last couple things up. I give you some prayers to look at as Gary comes down. Don't live in the land of unforgiveness and realizing that you're missing things that you can only realize when you're walking on a path that's wholeness and that's full of joy, and you are allowing them that you're not willing to forgive, do you realize you're allowing them to still have a say in your life? I want you to think about that for a second. Even if they're deceased, if you're still walking around thinking, man, I can't believe what he or she done, and you're talking it from an attitude of unforgiveness, then you're still allowing them to speak and control you through the grave. Unforgiveness is powerful. Forgiveness is even more powerful. If it wasn't, then God would allow us to stay in the relationship of unforgiveness. But He established a relationship through forgiveness. And that's powerful. So today, as you look at these, I'd ask you, who is God bringing to mind? As you see these little prayers that we use for times when we go through the steps of freedom with people, you see it starts out with, Lord, you choose to forgive somebody for what they did, what they said, even though it made you feel a certain way. And Lord, you choose not to hold on to any of these things any longer. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for setting me free from the bondage of bitterness and unforgiveness toward this person. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this person in Jesus' name. Jesus didn't say, hate your enemies and don't pray for them. He said, love your enemies and pray for them. You know what I believe that had the entire thing to do? Is this. When you start to love, even when you don't feel like loving, when you start to pray for somebody you don't even want to pray for, and when you start to allow God to change your vision, you know what I think it does? I think you're more like Christ than any other time. Because sometimes in life, maybe God is going to use the hurt and the bitterness more than He could ever use anything else if we're allowing Him to change our perspective from temporary to eternal. So this, go ahead and look at those for a moment. I'm going to pray for us. And Gary's going to play for us. That's sometimes hard to say. You're going to play and I'm going to pray. Like I shared with you earlier, forgiveness can start today. For the first time, maybe for really. Maybe you thought you have forgiven people. I don't know. I'm just going to pray for us and you just dwell up on this for a moment. You'll have your cards to fill out. You can bring them down and Dusty, Rick, and I will be up here to pray with you about things. But just marinate on this a little bit. This isn't for just this morning. This is into the future. Father, this right now, I'm praying, God, you bring people to mind. Who is it that's on your heart that we need to let off our hook and let you deal with them according to how you want to deal with them as you're dealing with us, according to how you want to deal with us about it? What healing do you want to do today in our lives, Lord? What wholeness do you want to bring? What restoration do you want to do, Father, in these next few moments? Or just speak to us through the power of your Holy Spirit. You want to get somebody to pray with you? Come pray with one of the pastors. It's a privilege to pray for people. Never a burden. It's a privilege. The altar's open. You can put your cards and envelopes here. Put them back there. God's going to surprise you this week by bringing some of this back to mind. Get ready. Okay? If you ever pass me going down the road and I'm laughing or I'm just talking to myself, I'm not on the phone. I'm just thinking of some conversation I probably had in the last couple of days. Happens to me all the time. But I believe God uses those moments. Okay? I'm going to pray for us. We'll go out into the world and be the salt and the light. Father, I thank you today for that privilege of being the salt and the light. It isn't always easy, but what's easy got to do with it? So Lord, I pray today you'd enable us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we're not doing it to build our kingdom. We're a part of the greatest kingdom ever and ever will be. So Lord, that's a privilege and a blessing. Now may we honor and glorify you through our actions, our attitude, and our words. In Jesus' name, amen.